Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to a Thursday morning. You know, normally if I go do V103, which I just did with a Big Tigger morning show, then I've already had that.
Your voice, you did the warm-ups.
I'm sorry that if the voice cracks, I'm not going to do that anymore. Maybe I just need to do my vocal. Anyway, good morning on a
hello,
Thursday.
Hello, hello. Good morning.
Nice to see you. Love this Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, me too. You get in a real rhythm and carry on from one to another. Boy.
Almost like a married couple, you know, spending time together for three straight days.
It's true.
And then like any good marriage, then we separate for four days.
And that makes it better. You appreciate it more when I come back.
Right. We go we go get some time away and get to see our boys. Rusty will be here tomorrow. Rusty will be on the show, though, coming up at 10 o'clock. The great Wild Portal, that is the world of college sports, which is a hot mess, to say the least.
Yeah, it's almost like that narrative of somebody's got to fix it. Okay, then what? So I'm anxious to hear his thoughts.
Well, there's thousands of players in the portal. It's just the stress this puts on young people. I think Rusty and I will talk about that, and obviously the three of us will talk about just every time you show up at a school now, you got 1 foot out the door, right? 1 foot out the door for playing time, 1 foot out the door for money, mm-hmm. 1 foot out the door because I don't like my coach, mm-hmm. 1 foot out the door because they're coaching me too hard. Like, all the things that help build the next, I love Rusty's expression, what are you doing the next 50 years of your life? Because you're going to be done at 21, right? You're not going to the NFL, and even if you are, you'll be done at 25. So what's the next 50 years look like? And I would argue that bouncing around your college experience is not the answer to a successful 50 years.
Yeah.
Because you're not locked into a campus and an alumni base that's going to be loyal to you because you weren't loyal there. You're not getting, you know, you don't have a major that you're focused on with certain professors and building your curriculum.
I don't think you're even required to go to a class.
I don't even know.
What is the acceptance paper now? Yeah. Like, what does that even mean? Rusty will tell us, I'm sure.
I mean, they're going to go through the notion that you're in classes. But if you go from Iowa State to Baylor to NC State to let's assume you're not getting to Stanford, to, you know, Washington, what do you got, an academic counselor to every place? Are you majoring in the same major all four? Like, what's the next 50 years set up with when you just bounce through the portal for 4 years at four schools? And also the decision-making process of now you're giving these kids way too many options. I know I get overwhelmed sometimes with, like, trying to make the right decision. Now they're always thinking about.
Kirby Smart said this weeks ago, too, and chimes right in. And he was saying, we're not going to know what it's going to look like until we have some, you know, kind of equity in this of the kids that did bounce around 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 schools and fast forward 10 years, how it affected their career, not only in football, but really more importantly in what did you learn? What did you get? The alumni that you were talking about.
I mean, I get the top of the portal, you know, I can take it from a Tulane perspective where, you know, we had, I don't know, a 10-3 team and a quarterback signed for the most portal dollars and went to Duke. And, you know, you can understand. And by the way, you're ending up at a really good school and you're getting more. But how about the guys and or a lot of the top of the portal guys, a kid that, you know, like the Robinson kid leaving Georgia or who was it last? Who was on running back last year at Georgia that came from Florida?
ETN.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. But think of the middle of the portal. Think about the guys that are like, what did you just leave for? Like, what? Where is the end game? The end game isn't professional. You know, the end game isn't, you know, you're not playing overseas and you just keep moving.
Well, I'm going to point a lot of fingers to agents and dads that have this false sense of fabulous about the kids, their own children, and the agent conversation, and Kirby touched on this, and Rusty will expand. When you hear about, we're going to have a Zoom call with the 7 guys I'm represented. And now, if you take X, Y, and Z, if you take them all,
here's my portfolio. This is literally, it's like selling a house.
Exactly right.
I got 10 properties to show you. Just let me know which one you're interested, and I'll go to my next clients.
That's exactly right.
Just a million ways that thing is stressful. Anyways, we got a lot to get to this morning. Steve Holman will join us to talk about the Atlanta Hawks and the question of how important is beating the Miami Heat, because that's who's they're playing on Friday night, getting a 4 out of 7 series if you win against the Cavs. Mike Johnson, he's literally not leaving the building till he gets to do Braves talk, because you two were chatting it up before, you know, in our pregame show. I had to be like, you know, can we?
Well, Mike and I are talking baseball. You know, we're watching.
Right, but we're
talking sports in the room. Like,
no,
we're
We were trying to. No, we were trying to do our pre-show meeting, and I literally said, why don't you come on the air with Sandra and you guys? They have a real issue with how Snit handled the Braves yesterday and in general the Braves. And then Rusty's going to be on. So we have a full lineup of stuff, but you have the sound that Sandra needs you to hear.
Well, it was the most shocking thing I've heard in years. And it involves Jim Palmer and Kevin Brown, who do the broadcast for the Orioles.
So Jim Palmer, longtime Hall of Fame pitcher for the
underwear
Baltimore
model.
Orioles, yeah, who pitched in the 70s when I was growing up. You know that he was on a pitching staff with 4 20-game winners in the same season. 4 guys won 20 games on the same
That'll
staff.
Never, ever happen
Dude,
again.
Ever. You won't have 2,
right.
Ever. They had 4.
That's
right?
Incredible. But anyway, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Dave McAnally, Pat Dobson, Jim Palmer, and Mike Cuellar.
Right.
I believe are those 4. But anyways, go ahead and explain.
I don't even know that it needs. This is just like in the middle of a game, things that come up and you learn about your broadcast partner.
You know, I've never had a wing. Ever. What do you mean you've never had a wing?
Never, ever had a wing.
You've never had. Wait a minute.
No, I'm just never had.
You've never had a chicken wing?
No.
Like,
why would I?
Why would
don't
you?
Don't they have skin and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of things have skin.
But I don't eat skin.
Apples have skin.
Why eat apples?
You've never had a single chicken wing?
No, never thought about having it.
That is staggering to me. So what kind of chicken do you eat?
White breast.
What about, like,
fried chicken?
You eat fried chicken?
Never had fried chicken.
Never?
Well, I've taken the crust off and...
What is this?
Okay, Jim Palmer, y'all, is 79 years old, and he looks 60. He's in sick shape. He eats white breast.
No,
bait.
I get it.
Like,
listen,
crazy.
I get it.
Never in his life a chicken wing, fried chicken.
I feel so fat right now.
He doesn't. Oh.
But I mean, that's why he looks. That's why he sounds. That's why he's still working.
That's right. That's exactly right.
It's like my mom, who is 85. I think I told you.
Yep.
Who looks phenomenal.
Learning a new language now and keeping your brain in order.
Well, but for 50 years.
Right.
She's been exercising,
right?
I mean, like, okay, yeah, of course you look like Jane Fonda at this age because you've been paying attention to it. you know, she paid attention to it 40 years ago, and she walks 3 miles in the morning, and then she walks 3 miles in the afternoon. And then she'll drink a huge martini, and I'll be like, Mom, if you have another one, I'm gonna call my older brother,
aww,
who gets way stressed
brother Brom.
Out. Yeah, Bram doesn't like to see her drink, and I was like, oh, whatever, dude.
Buzzkill, Brom.
Right?
Let's go. Let Mom have a
he
couple
gets so
of martinis.
Serious.
Right.
But
right.
like, and she'll have a big plate of pasta and all that. But the point is, she's been exercising. Like Jim Palmer.
Okay,
what's
well,
the joy in life, though?
Fun fact here. Jim Palmer, and this is hand to God. My husband's family is from Baltimore. And my husband's father is super cool, great guy, knew a lot of people. Met Jim Palmer and his wife. They start telling a story of, well, we're building a new house and the house isn't ready yet. Larry's father says, well, we've got this amazing basement. Jim Palmer and his wife lived in my husband's basement. And Larry's like in high school.
In the 70s?
In the 70s. Larry is literally like, Jim Palmer, the baseball player, is in my basement. And he did say that he was like this then. Like, he's not the most personable, warm, and fuzzy.
Didn't sound like it.
So how about that?
That dude.
And I was like, wait, what? The underwear model? Like, I'm losing my mind. Jim Palmer lived in your basement. So now keep in mind, Larry's dad is 85 now.
Yeah.
Jim Palmer's 79. So they were peers at
that point.
I imagine
they weren't drinking buddies. I'm sure Jim Palmer wasn't drinking much either, right?
That's a great question, Larry. You'll have to let
me
know.
Find out if he ever, like, poured a cocktail or anything.
Yeah.
So Jim Palmer
lived in Larry's basement.
That's like Biff Pokoroka lived in our garage apartment.
So I was like, wait, when you went to school, you would be like, oh, you know, the Orioles fan? Oh, yeah, Jim Palmer is literally, Larry's going to Baltimore today, and he's going to the Orioles game tomorrow.
It's like, yeah, Palmer's pitching against the Yankees, Mike Torres, today. Oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I'll ask him about it tonight when he's in my basement.
It's so
that
crazy.
That is wild.
That is the absolute true story.
But
yeah.
You hear why would I eat that?
Right?
It has skin. Why would I eat that? So he's been having that mindset. Now, you know,
yes.
Guys are pretty focused on it. The 70s?
The 70s of being
that you
this
literally
strict.
Decided that in the 70s I'm not touching that. That's a wild
to
story.
Never have had fried chicken. Think about that. Never, ever, ever. 79
years. Do I
want to
live 5 years longer, or do I want to eat what I've eaten my whole life?
Is there a food that you kind of get shamed of, I cannot believe you've never had that? You've never, ever.
Foods I don't like, but I don't.
Yeah, I think you're pretty open-minded about it. I'm going to at least try that.
Yeah, and no one's going to shame you for weird food. I'm talking about a basic food that you literally have never eaten.
I've never in my life had a raw oyster.
Right, but that's like you're freaked out by them. I don't think people would. Like, a lot of people are freaked out
I
by
hope
oysters.
So. Yeah.
All right, let's do a quick 9-9.
The Braves are terrible. They lost 3-1. Spencer Strider was fine. He was great. He'll tell you it wasn't good enough. But the number you're going to hear is, hey, 19. 19 strikeouts, which ties a Major League Baseball record for the worst ever for a franchise. So good for you, Atlanta Braves.
What do you mean for a franchise?
For a franchise, there is another team in Major League Baseball that struck out 19 times in a game.
Yeah. Well, 20 is the record. That's a struck out 20 times in a game has happened a few times, but maybe a combination of pitchers, right?
For the Braves.
For the Braves. Okay, yeah.
They've done it once, one more time.
The most strikeouts in a game for the Atlanta Braves all time tied with one other, right?
We're going to get into all the numbers and velocity and what happened and the first four batters, specifically the first three. It's not good.
Yeah, Mikey's going to come in. We'll talk a lot of Braves coming up.
You mentioned it quickly. The Braves are off today, thank God. Hawks are going to now play the Heat as the Heat put a beatdown on the Bulls on the road. Tyler Herro with 38 points, and they beat the Bulls 109 to, I believe, 91.
They were up by 25 at halftime or 23. Yeah. Tyler Herro didn't miss a shot. Cam Adebayo. They look, you know, Heat culture on display. You saw Pat Riley and Alonzo Mourning sitting there and just, like, expressionless as the Heat are just rolling over Chicago.
Right.
Just,
and over in the West, just for I'm intrigued by this whole thing, the Mavs over the Kings, 121-106. So now it's going to be Golden State and the Mavs, which is Klay Thompson now for the Mavs, who, by the way, last night, 5 of 7 for 3, had 23 points. Anthony Davis with 27.
Listen, Nico Harrison has been telling you that Anthony Davis and what he thought would be Kyrie Irving could win an NBA title together, mm-hmm. that he targeted Anthony Davis. Now, the problem is that Kyrie's got that awful injury. He's out. But, you know, there was a method to the madness. Anthony Davis is a dominant player. He showed it last night as they went, was that on the road? Yeah, at Sacramento and won that game. So now Sacramento plays Memphis to try to get in the playoffs. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, Mikey in the house. Can we handle a cruel, cruel summer where the Braves are just bad? Sports Radio 929 The Game. Hey, it's Sports Radio 929 The Game. Steak Shapiro, Sandra Golden. Thanks so much for being with us. Mikey, host of the morning shift, here as well. I said, come on in here. Don't do a show out in the hallway, you two. Just come here.
Dude.
Right?
And obviously, Sam Crenshaw had a lot of fun this morning. I almost, you know, he's quiet.
He's a low-key guy.
I almost needed, like, Abe or Bo to yell at this morning. Because I was full of just vitriol.
I know, you probably would have scared poor Sam. He had a lot.
Yeah.
And he's such a class act.
He is, dude.
He's like the opposite. And I say this, let me separate. Sam is a class act, period.
Yes.
Then I'm going to say he's the opposite of Bo on so many ways. But I didn't mean Bo.
I know what you mean.
I'm separating.
I know. Well,
but having him sit there as opposed to Bo.
He's the opposite of Abe Gordon, too, who was with me.
Yeah. By the way, congratulations.
Ding.
And Sam does a great job. Congratulations to the arrival of Pork Chop.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
When did that baby came like a few days ago, but we were staying low-key about it?
Yeah, well, you know, look, man, you know as well as anybody, when you have a baby, you don't even know which way's up for a few days. So I think it was a little while till it gets around to informing
people. Too
long for you?
I would like to.
Hey, let me tell you what's going on.
In charge of that.
Let me tell you what's going on in these households. Mommy said, you're going to do as I say,
exactly.
And you're going to like it. So Amy, his beautiful wife, had a post in mind that she just had to get
but
her thoughts together.
But he's a radio journalist. Like, she doesn't get to make him wait two, 3 days.
She does after she just carried a piano in her belly for 9 months.
And,
like,
you know,
enough already.
Amy's the kind that wants to get the right bow. Not that bow. I mean, like, B-O-W bow.
Yeah, she got the
ready
wrong
the
bow.
You know what I mean?
Got...
Yeah, she got the...
No, she wanted that post.
She
wants
to
get
the right boat. And he was just trying to abide, man.
He did the right thing.
All right.
Yeah, she's made it, man. She's healthy. That's
congratulations.
All that matters.
I agree. Okay. We can talk about yesterday or we can talk about the big picture. Where do you want to begin? Let's talk about yesterday, right? Where Sandra's like, absolutely take Spencer Strider. I may have listened to her. She may have cost me. It was a listless effort. The 19 strikeouts, absolutely embarrassing. I mean, what it really says is we don't have the lineup we think we have this year even close to it, but let's just get to Spencer Strider because that's what you're most fired up about, right?
Dude, and granted, I like I said, I try to be more reserved this morning. When and I'm going to blame this on Brandon Gaudin to an extent because I'm watching, it's on the TV, and I'm doing some stuff around the house, and I think, okay, fifth inning's over. We're at 90 pitches. I wondered out loud yesterday, Steak, if he would get to 80. I was like, you know, 80, 85 is what he did in the minors. He gets to 90 after five. I'm like, perfect opportunity. All the starters have been throwing low innings. It makes sense. Let's just follow along those lines, give it to the bullpen. Top of the order's coming back up. That's fine. To see Brendan, they come back from commercial, and it's the bottom of the inning, the top of the inning. And Brendan Gaudin and CJ Nikowski go, well, he's not shaking anybody's hand in the dugout. I admit, like, I'm listening from the other room. I run back in there. I'm like, no way, Sandra.
Right.
No way at 90 pitches. They're going to run him back out there to pitch against Vladimir Guerrero in the sixth inning. And at the most, like, easiest thing to predict at all is he comes back out there for the sixth. His first start and gives up a tater to Vladimir Guerrero and then walks the next batter. Like, I think even he, and he would never admit this, I think even he was probably shocked that Snit was like, hey, let's just go out there for another one. You can face the heart of the order. Because I think it almost threw him off to the point where he was worse off in the sixth.
So he lasted seven pitches in, but those were kind of important pitches.
If you just woke up this morning and you looked at his stat line, you'd think, okay, he threw five innings and they pulled him out. No, it's five plus innings because he didn't get an out in the sixth inning. I was mesmerized by that decision from Brian Snicker to trot him back out for the sixth inning and get up to 97 pitches in his season debut when he hasn't pitched in over a year.
Right.
I couldn't believe
it. He gives up the Vlad homer, which he knew was coming at some point in the series. You know, Vlad had started so slow. He was ahead 0-2, throws three straight balls, then a foul pitch, and then he homers. So he really had worked him in that count.
That's exactly
well.
Right. And then it's
goes deep in the count. Just in general, it's, you know, it was the start was fine. Spencer Strider, I love what he said. I'm not looking for a moment. Whatever. I haven't pitched in a while. I'm trying to win a baseball game.
Yeah.
Like, we're trying to win a series. I had no extra, like, wow. He's like, dude, I'm just out there. It's game three. It's the rubber match of a series. I'm coming out there to try to finish things off. I had no emotional ramped up mindset other than go out and just get the W. He gives up the early run, which for the Braves, when you get behind with that lineup, it feels insurmountable.
Yes.
But likewise, the other night, when you get the two-run jack, it wasn't from Austin Riley. Who hit it in the first inning
Sean
the other
Murphy.
Night? Sean Murphy. Thank you.
Yeah, good call.
When you got ahead, it's almost like,
yes,
take a deep breath.
Okay, but let me say this, too, and I think Sandy brought up this point, and she's talking about velocity. He throws Spencer Strider comes out and throws 98 in the first inning. And to
Vlad Guerrero, by the way.
To Vlad Guerrero, throws 98 in the first inning. The rest of the way, he's 95, 96. And I don't think at all it was a health issue, but I think in the back of his mind, he probably thought, you know what? I don't need to be that guy right now that's coming out here humming 98, 99.
And I think he was just jacked up in the, he was hyped up, that adrenaline, right?
Yes.
Right.
I think in the back of his mind, he probably thought, you know what? If we're in for the long haul, and you just asked, is this a long, are we talking Spencer Strider now or Spencer Strider long term? I think in the back of his mind, he was like, longevity wise for my career, I probably should dial it down to 95, 96, use more of the curveball that he worked on, the changeup, everything else. I think that was a concerted effort on his part. And that's why I say when he comes back out for the sixth stake, I think even he was surprised to the point where he was like, dude, I'm looking at longevity. I'm dialing it
back
a little
bit. You think they were too desperate to win that game for a game in April that, you know, is an afternoon game in Toronto and they're pushing their stud? I mean, I don't know. The norm is obviously to be super conservative with guys.
I'm gonna interject here by saying I think you just know that you don't have confidence in your bullpen.
100%.
So, and you have now lost all of Chris Sale's starts, and you lost Schwellenbach's start. So you got to know we got to kind of if Strider can go again. And I'll remind everybody. Strider's last outing, which was in Norfolk, they pulled him after 90.
So
they're thinking, let's see what he's got.
Right.
But I agree with you. I thought he was done, and they'll just let him go at 90. But then when he came back out, I just thought, rut, rut, rut. But I'm also going to say, Mikey, you should be able to give up two runs and win a ballgame.
100%.
I don't care who's pitching on the mound. If you strike out 19s, and I'll take the top of the order, which was 1-for-12 with 11 strikeouts, y'all, between Harris, Riley, and Olsen. I don't care what ball game you're in and who's on the mound. You're not winning those games.
Sandy, you can't. Your top two hitters both have golden sombreros yesterday. You can't. And what's crazy is you look at it and we go, oh, we thought Strider would win a start.
Right.
Five plus with two earned runs.
Listen, Austin Riley has given them some, you know, moments already. So yeah. 0-for-4 top of the order, still not good. But Michael Harris, like, let's try to figure out what we have here because we've been sitting here wondering, is Michael Harris this or that at the top of the order, which you don't want him there necessarily for that reason.
Stay.
Guy at the top of the order going 0-for-4 and leadoff with four strikeouts is abysmal.
I keep laughing at myself because twice over the last 2 weeks, I have accidentally had a slip of the tongue and have called him Jason Hayward.
Wow.
And I'm terrified that's what he is.
240 hitter, very athletic,
defensive replacement. Will stick around because he can play great defense and fly around the outfield, but never going to be that guy offensively that gets out of
79. Not a smart enough hitter.
I'm just wondering why he's trotting out there again leading off. So maybe we need to mix it up a little. It's not going well, so let's mix it up. And the other thing is, it's too early to – I'm going to go back to that fight that we had. You know, it's like in a relationship, you keep bringing up bad things. He's not supposed to be our leadoff. You know who's supposed to be our leadoff hitter?
Yeah.
Jurickson Profar.
Or Ronald Acuña about that.
Thank you.
Yes.
So I runners in scoring position or stranded position, as we like to say, not only were they 0-for-9, but you had 7 strikeouts in your 0-for-9ers, y'all.
It's
just impossible.
They are only 2 teams in baseball worse than the Braves right now. That is the White Sox, who is you know, affectionately known as the worst team in baseball. Not even close. Yeah, not even close. Trying. And there's a three-win Rockies team. I said this after the 0-7. If you lose Jerkson Profar, and if you lose Ronaldo Lopez, and you still don't have Ronald Acuna or Spencer Strider, and you're starting Eli White, and you're starting Fairchild, what makes you think? What makes you think you're coming home to go 7-1? Like, you just lost both road series, right? You had a okay homestand, not a good homestand. Now you're
3-2 at home. You're 2-11 on the road.
You're worse than when you left San Diego. You're worse than when you left. Yeah. Since you come back.
Here's what I'll say, Steak. And I think Sandy, you said Sandy gave you Spencer Strider yesterday. You got to take Spencer Strider, lost you some money. That's why I think, to Sandy's point, they were so hell-bent on winning yesterday. Because if you get Grant Holmes to come out and shove in game one of this series, and you think for the next 2 days I've got Spencer Schwellenbach and the offense that hit the ground running the first day of this series, and you're telling me that nobody forecasted you going 0-2
the next 2 days. Yeah, so think about the last 4 games you lost with Sale, Schwellenbach, and Strider.
Sale hasn't won a start.
I know.
How?
You just lost with all those guys.
How is it possible? Goes back. Look,
you're a bad baseball team. That's what the Braves fans, and we're Braves country, so we've got to really be real about what's
Minnesota,
going on.
Minnesota.
You got Minnesota and St. Louis coming in. But I don't care who you're playing right now. Are you serious? You are a terrible baseball team.
Yeah, you are.
We had John Smoltz on last week, and he said this. He said somebody along the lines decided it was okay to put together a team that looks like this offensively, and it's not. It's not. It's not the whole home run or strikeout thing is really biting you right now.
Chipper Jones watching Michael Harris and Austin Riley.
How many whiskeys did he pour? How
often, poor Larry a crown. Another one.
Seriously.
How
dude.
Often does he talk about just they're not patient hitters. They don't work counts.
Awful.
They're looking like.
But
he
also came on here and said, when somebody gets a hit, it's contagious. But when you are hitless, it's also contagious.
Well, you're
striking
out
trying
like
to press too much, 19. And you're trying to make something happen.
By the way, the most in Toronto history, and also the most in Braves history, it's happened twice, two other times as well.
Awful.
Thanks, Mike. When we come back,
thank you, Mikey.
He's the voice of the Atlanta Hawks. The cavalcade of interesting conversations continue. The Hawks and Heat Friday night. Steve Holman joins us. We come back. Sports Radio 929. Hey, it's 9:39. Steak Shapiro and Sandra Golden on a Thursday morning. Fastest 2 hours in radio, the Odyssey app. Listen, we're the home of the Hawks, home of the Falcons, home of Atlanta United. Steve Holman will join us in a second. An impassioned Mike Johnson in here after the morning shift talking Braves. Falcon draft exactly a week away. I have my own thoughts on, you know, what really – it's going to happen at 15 in the rest of the draft. We already lost a couple of picks there, a third and the fifth pick. That's a disaster. But I'm going to stay positive. Thinking about that Michael Penix arm, we got that going on. And lots more on the way over the next 7 days, probably looking at the draft considerably. So I was thinking of my friend Steve Holman the other night. And I think I was driving from point A to point B during that horrific first half. And I said, this poor guy is going to be, he's not going to be in a good place. And then he said, he had a Steve Holman moment with Trey. Trey was bumbling and stumbling through that first half. I know how emotional you get, Steve, when we come out like that and lay an egg in a play-in tournament. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Yes, it's one of those wear your emotions on your sleeve when the playoffs start, you know?
Yeah. So do you know how many playoffs you've been to, you personally? I was just in Conti's office. We were trying to do the math.
Well, somebody asked me that the other day. It may have been Mike himself. I don't know. But I know we had a stretch of, what, 8 years, 9 years? We didn't make it.
Yeah, so if you – how many years have you been doing the games?
40.
40 years.
This is my 40th, yes.
So
85, 86, so, it was the first one.
So do you consider – here's the very important question, Sandra. Do we consider Friday night a playoff game or a play-in game? Does it count? Because if we don't consider it the playoffs until we win, then it would be your 23rd playoffs of your career. But right now you're in this.
Oh, wow.
You're in a hybrid right now. We're not in, but we're not out. But,
no.
But that means, like you said, you had a long stretch where you weren't getting there. If they get in, it'll be your 23rd playoffs that you've called.
Wow, how about that? That's thank you for that information.
Yes, there you
I didn't
go.
Know that.
That's
but,
great.
All right.
But
so
I do consider Friday night a playoff game because it's an elimination game. You know, it's a game seven, basically. But although officially it's not a playoff game, but yes. To me it's a game seven.
Yeah, it's a game, it's a do or die, your season ends. So
yes.
Listen, there's a lot wrapped up in you know what happens on Friday or what doesn't. And at the end of the day, Sandra asked me the question, and I said, let's just ask Holman, what's the benefit of getting in and getting Reese O'Shea and Dyson, who, by the way, has never been to the playoffs, Dyson Dean is either,
okay.
Sandra,
mm-hmm.
and this group a chance to be in a 4 out of 7 series against a stacked Cleveland team that we have beaten this year, as opposed to going home and not having these moments for these kids? I think it's probably bigger than we think.
Oh, it's much bigger. I think it's huge. I think it was huge to be in this, in the play-in, really, just as that experience. I mean, that's the first time for some of these guys the other night that they were in this type of
situation.
Well,
they look like it. They look like it.
Well, they did. And you know, it's pretty simple. And the ball has to go in the basket, you know? I mean, we can't start off again 1 for 8 on threes or, you know, or turn it over 3 or 4 times in the first quarter. I mean, you get in a hole that way and it's... I think we were up 8-4. That was our only lead the other night.
It reminded me, the first half reminded me the way Miami defended Trey a few years ago when he really struggled in that Heat series. They have big physical guards. Trey's looking at the refs for help. You know, he had turnovers. He couldn't get a clean look. You know, that's the way Miami's going to play him on Friday, and that's the way Orlando played him. Physical.
Yeah.
And you know, daring him to go to the basket with big bodies and, you know, with Trey go the Hawks, which is why the third quarter we got back in it. But, there's a different – they don't understand, the young kids. People play defense in the playoffs. They don't play at game 61 of the regular season.
No, and that's one of the reasons that we need to be in this thing, is so they can learn that. I mean, like – you know, Zach has played in big games, you know, in Europe. Basically he's played professional since 15. But the NBA playoffs are a whole different thing, even from over there. So I think just the fact that they're in is going to be helpful. And I actually like that we're playing Miami instead of Chicago, to tell you the truth.
Well,
Kobe White usually kills us.
Okay. Kobe White, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kobe White, yeah, he generally kills us for Chicago. So we've played pretty well against Miami this year. And, you know, we've beaten them. And the key is Tyler Hero and Dyson, I think. I mean, if Dyson can lock him down, the last game we played in Miami against them, he had a big game. Hero did.
Tyler,
so I think Dyson may have learned something from that, too.
Yeah. Dyson Daniels is going to D up Tyler Hero, which is exactly how you match up, you know, star players doing different things, which is Dyson on D and Tyler Hero, who can do everything, go to the basket, shoot the three, athletic, jumps out of the gym. Miami will try to run as many screens to get Dyson Daniels off of Tyler Hero. I heard coaches say, when you play the Hawks, you game plan to get Dyson off of your best player. Miami will try to do the same.
Yeah, they will. And you know, you might always take the whole thing about let him get his stuff and shut everybody else off. Like, Onyeka plays really well against Adebayo every time. And it's much better for him to be playing against Adebayo than it was the other night against Ben Carroll and those guys, those big guys before, and Wendell Carter. Wendell Carter was the key, I think, to that game the other night, the kid from Atlanta. So I feel good about Friday. I think they're going to take something from Tuesday. And I think everybody felt like they got hit in the mouth the other night, and they want to respond to that.
Yeah, the reason you want to be a 7 or 8 and not a 9 or a 10 is you can have a slip-up, and then you come home and you're playing at home. And, you know, we had a better regular season in Miami. That's why this game is going to be played in Atlanta. Steve Holman, voice of the Hawks for 40 seasons, joining us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Reese O'Shea, better than you thought?
Yes, and every night he gets better. I mean, it's been amazing, really, to watch him, every night from the time he steps on the floor to warm up, you know, one of the first guys out there to do that, and then the strides that he's made during the season. Especially shooting it, you know. I mean, he's got all the moves. He, and the thing about him is he doesn't act like he's – well, he just turned 20, what, last week, but he doesn't act like a 19, 20-year-old. I mean, he's poised out there. I guess that's the best way to put it. And he's got the moves, and nothing scares him. So I think that, you know, that bodes well for the future for this kid. And I don't know if he's going to win Rookie of the Year or not. He might have come on too late in the second half of the season. But, you know, the national voters, you know, they took the votes away from us, from the locals.
Yeah.
What, about 5 years ago, 10 years ago? I don't know. But those guys, the national guys, there's 101 voters, I think. And do you think Stephen A. Smith would know Zach Rizzichet in an elevator?
No.
I mean, how many games do you think he's watched of the Hawks?
Well, no national games.
And he's
games.
A voter.
Right.
And he's a voter.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to pick on Stephen A. Smith. I mean, he might be our next president. Who the hell knows? But
so let me ask.
I mean, those national guys, you watch those shows sometimes, and they don't know who we are from Adam.
But Steve, when you're the 8 seed, when you're the 10 seed, when you're the 9 seed, like, why would they be paying attention? We have to make ourselves.
Yeah, no,
we have
right.
to make ourselves right. relevant. We have to play in games that matter. We have to get in a series with Cleveland and have a game 6 where it's a knockdown, drag out series. So back to your point,
right.
If you want to be relevant, get in relevant games.
Yes, exactly. And that's a good point you make, too, about the national stuff. But I wish that they let the locals still vote. You know, every city had 3 votes. The pretty much the radio, the TV, and the newspaper beat writer. But, you know, we don't even have a beat writer that travels to every game anymore. But that's another story for another day.
All right,
day.
Steve, I don't want to get you, you know,
got him riled
get
up
off
now,
of my
Steve,
lawn.
This deep is, breath. No, just, yoga.
I have an issue.
Stretch it out.
I have an issue with you that I'm going to put out there.
Uh-oh.
Right?
Uh-oh.
So are you?
I've got Ted Williams. I've got Teddy Ballgame. Ted Williams with me walking here on the link. So if you say anything bad, he's going to get you.
He's walking his doggy as he does every day.
Mm-hmm.
I used to count on this guy on social media. Nice big cocktail. Big 24-inch New York mm-hmm. strip. Mm-hmm. Great side dishes. Got glasses of wine. Now, it's like, I don't even know if he goes out on the road anymore. I know that his walking is his thing. I mean, you spent 40 years on the road living the life of an old school journalist.
Journalist!
So what's happened? Have you just decided this is the new Holman, like you want to be around for another 10 years calling games?
Well, yeah, I mean, that too. I'd like to live 10 years too. I mean, you know, at 71, you start to think about those things.
So,
and I did. I don't know if a lot of people that I know this that travel with me, and they've been. I haven't had a drink. It'll be 2 years in June.
Oh my God! Good for you.
Good for you.
What made you make that decision? In all seriousness.
Well, I had a little heart flutter thing, and I got one of those tests, you know, where they run the thing up your arm and into your heart, and they show you on the TV. I was fine. They didn't have to do anything, but I stopped for the test, and I just never started again.
Yeah. You hear a lot of folks say that about, I stopped drinking for a little while, and then I just stayed there, right? Sandra and I, not example of that, but, I mean, others have we've
God,
heard of
you just
it.
Feel so good, though, you know, when you just...
You know, when you wake up in the morning, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Right.
Good for you, Stevie.
Mm. Well, thank you. I will say that there are some other things that you can take at night to go to sleep that help.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, tell us your new vices. What can we now anticipate?
A gummy helps you sleep, right? You can take a gummy.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I don't consider that a vice.
It's
I think
not.
Of that as a
helps you
medication.
Yes. Hey, let's just say the Steve Holman Hall of Fame, it went back in the day when there is, you know, you're an old school reporter on the road. What are the 3 cities that you could really get after it? Food, drink, the whole living the life. What are the 3 great NBA cities?
I think, as I mentioned before, Chicago is always one of my favorites. And these places, I still go out. You know, they have mocktails now of these places.
I'm just kidding.
That are, you know, they're okay. But Chicago, New York, and Boston, I guess, are the 3, you know, that I still...
That Italian food? That Italian food in Boston and New York?
You put the North End in there, it's like... That's right up there. But, you know, Chicago, I like Gibson Steakhouse and all the people that are there. I love Chicago, too. Chicago's one of those, it's a big city that's like a small town, you know. I kind of like that. Everybody's friendly. And New York is New York. I mean, you could,
most city
I just love going to New York, the city. But those are the top three.
Is there a basketball team that you hated more than any other over the years, one of our Hawks opponents?
The Pistons, the phony smile from Isaiah Thomas, and that, you know, that year, remember he did like a jumping around when they beat us at the end there in the old Silver Dome. I hated that. That was one of the first years I was doing the games, and I was so happy when we beat him. And
you know, if you watch, I know Sandra won't watch it, but you grew up in Boston. He sat next to Johnny Most, the most famous voice in basketball history, and he's all over the Celtic City documentary on HBO. If you watch Bird or any of those guys, they will not say one nice word about Bill Laimbeer or those guys, meaning, like, it's way past the point of, like, competition.
Right.
They consider those guys lowlifes, dirtbags, dangerous, all those things. You just said the same thing. I'm sure Dominique felt the same way.
That's just what Johnny said about them.
Yeah, yeah. McFilthy. No,
that's true. That was and I have watched that. I've watched, to me, the first five, you know, have been the best because it was the older, you know, the history kind of thing.
Well, the
and to me, the one thing that I took out of those first five mostly was the Robert Parrish thing about Larry Bird.
Robert Parrish said when Bird got in a fight, Parrish did not even have any interest in backing him up as a teammate because he said, when I was holding out for a contract, Bird said we can win without him, and he never really took that out of his mind. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, and he MF'd him, too, on there, too, which, wow. You know, it's funny. A lot of people said they didn't even know Robert Parrish could talk.
So the reason, he was great. He's great in it. Parrish is great. Here's why every sports fan, forget about Boston, should watch it. Because of Bill Russell. I mean, you just,
right.
You know, people don't understand. They talk about Jordan's six titles. Russell had 10? Is it 9 or 10 for Russell? And
10, I believe.
Yeah, and he built.
Plus he had he got a gold medal, and he won a college championship, too, with San Francisco, with Casey Jones.
And he was a player coach that beat Elgin Baylor, Jerry West, and Wilt Chamberlain in his final game of his career. That's what you need to know about Bill Russell. Forget about Boston.
Isn't that something? You know, I thought about that a couple of times. You know, here's a player coach, and Lenny was a player coach at one time, too. And, you know, and back in those days, and it's all different now. But when you think of it, he was a player coach, no assistant coaches. Now we've got every
think
team
about
in
that,
the league
Sandra.
Has, what,
you're,
10
you're,
coaches.
You're your starting center. You have no assistants. And it's like a guy that's like starring as an actor and you're the director, but like literally that's what's going on.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And they're a four seed, and Chamberlain goes from Philadelphia to the Lakers. Now they got the three best players in the game, Baylor, West, and Chamberlain, and they still couldn't beat the Celtics in that game. So, and then Bill Russell doesn't speak to Boston for decades. Decades he won't go near that city.
If you read the history and hear all the history about what happened to him there, I don't think he would. I wouldn't talk either. I don't think you know.
Call it what it is. It was it's a racist town, is what it was in the 70s, and still trying to make up for it.
Real quick, Steve. Any dark horses in the playoffs, or is it just going to be Captain Obvious with Boston, OKC, or?
Well, you know, you would say OKC, and I think Boston. You know, they've been lucky like 2 years in a row now with the injury thing. But OKC is very good, but you know, they're that, have they really, they were there last year and disappointed. So I would say you'd have to make them the favorite, but I don't think there are really any dark horse.
Jimmy Butler with the Warriors, Luka Doncic with the Lakers. Very interesting to watch. Anthony Davis gets a dub with the Mavs last night as well. All right, Holman, we'll hear the call. 7 o'clock tip off.
Can you guys give me 1 second to say something about Wiley? Wiley is one of the nicest kids I've ever met, and I've known him since he was at Westminster. And what he did the other night was perfectly fine, and it was great television. I thought it was funny. It was cute. And these people, you know, the people that are complaining about it, they need to get a life.
Well said. Couldn't agree with you more.
Say it louder for the people in the back.
Thank
Go
you, buddy.
Steve.
All right, okay. Steve. We'll see you.
Thank you all.
I'll see you Friday night. Thank you. Steve Holman, voice of the Hawks for 40 years. Guy that shows up for work under any circumstance. And he'll have the call with Mike Conti, a do-or-die game against the Miami Heat. What's going on with the portal? What's going on with a big news out of Georgia in terms of kid leaving?
Mm-hmm.
Rusty Manziel updates us when we come back. It's the fastest 2 hours for sure on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You. a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Hey, it's 10:04 on a wonderful Thursday morning. My name is Steak. That's Sandra Golden. Thanks so much for being with us. Yeah, it was a rough night for the Braves. 19 strikeouts, another lost series. You went on the road. Tampa beat you 2 out of 3. You won game one with
Grant Holmes.
With Grant Holmes and Spencer both get the L. You head home now to play the Twins over the weekend and then the Cardinals after that. Hawks big game tomorrow night. Heat culture. Ugh, enough already with the Heat culture. But they'll be rolling in town. They beat the Bulls. I heard Steve Holman earlier. We also heard Mike Johnson talking Braves. And now we turn our attention to the complicated world of the NIL portal and trying to figure out where kids are going or not going and just a couple of other stories. So we'll call this our tailgate. Rusty Manziel joins us.
He'll be brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors.
Thank you, Sandy.
You're welcome.
Rusty, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I hope you guys just saw the breaking news. ESPN announced that Lee Corso is officially retiring, and you talk about a career. You talk about somebody that made Saturday mornings different and special. He was fantastic. He was at the end. I think everybody understood that. But, man, what a career, Lee Corso. And just, he made Saturday mornings great.
Just had coffee with his son, Dan Corso, who does a phenomenal job. And I said, how's the fam feel? I think they were anxious maybe to get to say, you know, it may be time to wrap it up. But, you know, Dad wants to keep grinding away. I think everybody feels a sense of letting him go out the right way.
And letting him decide because it was his decision.
Because I think the family, it was their decision. They probably would have said, you know what, you don't have to keep doing this. I imagine they will have, Rusty, one of the greatest tributes in television history. I don't know I don't know when they choose it. I don't know which location it will be, but I will be. It will be like nothing we have seen in sports television.
And guarantee Herb Street to be crying. And
oh my God,
he did a lot. The relationship those two though had, it was genuine. You could tell and how patient he was with him. But it'll be. You're right, Steak. It'll be great. It'll have to be. It will have to be the first weekend. They'll have to do something. So. Be interested to see where they start the season off. You know, I think what Alabama plays at Florida State. I think that's the opening game.
Who's Miami guys? Notre Dame.
I think that might be the second night.
Okay. No, but Alabama from Florida State and Lee played at Florida State, and that's massive. That's going to exactly
where
be where it
live
is.
Live now.
That would be a great one, man. He lives in Orlando. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thanks for mentioning that. So, Rusty, you and I have talked about this so much, and you're so close to all the SEC programs, but you know, trying to manage how many guys in the portal right now, how long does this last for, and just your overall thoughts. You talk to so many parents. You're so close to all of this stuff. Just give us your own take, and give us the numbers now of how many folks are going to land in the portal.
I think yesterday over 1,100 FBS scholarship players and walk-ons. And here's the key to this. Walk-ons that played over 100 snaps. So those are contributors. Over 1,100 players went in stake. That would be enough for 12 college football teams. What shocked me yesterday, Steak, was somebody that I do trust told me that 63% of the players that were in the portal right now, 63% did not play a snap last year. And that tells you there's a lot of I would say not great decisions being made. You don't have tape. You know, you might have been a red shirt, and it's just a lot of different situations there. So I hope that these young men don't go in and find themselves, you know, empty-handed at the end of this month, because there's not even enough scholarships to go around, and you flood the market thinking you're you know, more valuable than you kind of are, instead of, you know, staying where you are, keeping your feet where you are, competing and growing and see where you are. So we could go on the next 3 hours, man.
Well, Rusty, let's stop. Let's just stay right where you are, because 63% of those kids have somebody in their ear, whether it's a parent or an agent, telling them that they're better than they are, or look what can go over here. What is going on?
You know, I think it's a lot of you facing adversity for the first time. You know, you're a superstar in high school, and, you know, everybody told you how good you are, and you go there, you don't play, and think, you know, I know a couple of kids that, you know, I know that played 1 year of college football, and they quit. You know what I mean? They faced adversity for the first time. They're like, I'm not doing it, you know, and rightfully so, that's their right. But you know, I think a lot of it is you're facing adversity for the first time. You're not a superstar. You're four string. Nobody's kissing you. You know what? You know, they're cussing at you on the mic a little bit. And sometimes you either man up or you go somewhere else. Now all those places they're looking for. Sometimes kids are like, you know what? I'm at a bigger school. I may not can play here. I'll go down to another school and play. Some of those kids are making those decisions. But a lot of this stuff is the wrong people getting the wrong message to these kids.
And I think it is an important distinction. If a kid is in a program where maybe he's going to get snaps senior year if he stayed, or he's never going to rise above, and he says, I love the game of football, and I can play at, I don't know,
correct,
East Carolina,
yep,
Tulane, you know, insert mid-level program, good for them, right? And that's why we want to provide that for them. For kids that are playing in mid-level programs and said, I'm ready to take my game and have a chance to play professionally or get into a program like Tennessee or South Carolina or Michigan State. We understand that. So it's not like we're not shaking our head at, you know, the old guy saying this.
Right.
Is but given all that are good reasons to a degree, but not when it's four schools in 4 years and not when there's no stability whatsoever. I think the decision-making part is really tough for these kids, because it is hard. It's a hard decision to make. We all have a hard time with big decisions in life.
Yeah, you know, ironically, I heard Cam Newton talk about this last night on a podcast. I saw a clip. He said, look, guys, these kids thinking they're trying to make forever money. This isn't forever money. This is to make college comfortable, to get you a good head start on life and lay a foundation for that paycheck that will change your life. And I thought that was a good message from Cam Newton saying that. And you look at this whole deal, I'll take a kid that I knew. It played at Grayson High School, high profile kid, Griffin Scoggs. He goes to Georgia a couple years ago. He stays there a year, and Griffin probably realized, you know what, man, I don't know if I'm ever going to play here. You know where he goes? He goes to App State. He's playing. He's having a good time. I watch him on social media. You know, that's a great program up in Boone, and he's getting an opportunity to play on Saturday. So, you know, there's decisions that made like that that you understand. But some of these kids that go in thinking that they're going to have 17 D1 offers. I had a kid yesterday reach out to me, not going to put his business out. He left the school, and I can tell you right now, he's got no prayer of going where he thinks he's going to go, but that's not my right to talk to him about it. I just said, good luck to you, young man. But I knew when I got off the phone with him yesterday, man, that was not the right call for him. And he was going to transfer from a very small FCS school up to an SEC-type school. Not going to happen.
Quick couple of stories out of college football. Obviously, Branson Robinson entering the portal for Georgia. Are you surprised?
Not really. Kind of, you know, this kid's a talented player, just couldn't stay healthy. I think the emergence of Bo Walker, you know what I mean? I don't know that anybody else is going to leave, but when a freshman comes in and next thing you know, he's taking the ones, and he didn't do anything to hurt himself on Saturday. I think everybody, that was the first time they got a chance to see him. I covered this young man at Cedar Grove High School, played on multiple state championship teams, got ruled ineligible by Georgia High School, appealed it a couple times on a move. Basically set out last year, played some games up in North Carolina late, but he came to Georgia pissed off. This dude was ready to play. And Saturday, everybody saw. I know Nate Frazier's the headliner. He should be, but I'm telling you right now, Bo Walker, this kid's a freshman at Georgia. He's making noise right now, and that might not be the only player he puts in the portal at Georgia.
All right, Nico says bye. Josh Heupel says bye to Nico Iamaliva, right? And
Iamaliava.
Liava. And then UCLA looks like the landing spot?
Yeah, sounds like that. Certainly not going to be making the money he probably could have made at Tennessee. And, You know, I've just been real careful on this. You know, I've heard a lot of stories. I've heard a lot of different things. In my opinion, I think his dad overplayed his cards a little bit. I think Tennessee offered him to pay a little bit more money. And then at some point, Tennessee said enough's enough. You know, and I heard some things yesterday about he started missing some meetings and some of the guys in the locker room. You know, Tennessee at some point drew the line and said enough is enough. We'll move on without you. But, again, here's a situation where, you know, no telling who's in this kid's ear. I don't know if I've ever seen him interview. You know what I mean? I don't know if I've ever seen – you hear people yesterday, Colin Cowherd or somebody, L.A. Times, something had a quote from a source that wouldn't name who it was, you know. So I don't know until I hear that young man, him say it himself, but just not a great decision in my part. He's going to have to – in my opinion, he's going to have to lay low. He's going to have to play past this because if you don't think NFL teams – are going to look at that and go, well, who's in this kid's ear? And can we draft this guy to be the center of our franchise in the NFL? He's going to deal a lot with that down the line.
All right, 30 seconds left. Any portal stories that you're following or any big stories that will happen, I think, in the next, couple
it's
of days?
Daily. You know, kind of who goes in from Georgia? I do expect at some point Nitro Tuggle and Marquise Easley, the two kids that were at Georgia playing, both suspended indefinitely. I don't see them back. And I would imagine those two kids go in, and doesn't seem like there's a ton of stuff that would hold them from other schools signing them. So we'll see. But right now, no, I would say craziness other than Nico. A lot of good players now, but we'll see how this thing unfolds. It's only day one.
Rusty, I got a question on Twitter from a Tennessee fan. Who are they getting out of the portal to play quarterback?
That's a damn good question. And they got some money to spend. So, I think Tennessee, no question, would be an attractive place. You just see what quarterbacks go in. A lot of buzz around Sam Leavitt at Arizona State. I have not seen him go in. That's just kind of been rumors. Mm. Now, the quarterback that went to UCLA from App State, what's he going to do if Nico comes? That's another really talented player that I was told got $1 million to leave App State. So he could possibly be a target there. Tennessee's going to have some targets, but I will say Jake Merklinger, kid out of Savannah. I think his mom and dad both went to Georgia. So this is a kid that's very talented if they hand him the keys. But I think Tennessee's definitely going to try to bring in some depth, and they got some money to spend.
Thank you, sir. See you tomorrow. Rusty Rocks and plenty more. When we come back, belly up to the bar, among other things.
Lane Kiffin on a podcast. You will not want to miss it. It is a deep dive into his psyche. I think you'll enjoy it. It's the Steakhouse on a Thursday.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is the fastest 2 hours in radio. If you're driving around the great city of Atlanta with a 125,000-watt radio station, number one in the Southeast, incredible ratings I've seen. So we're just glad to be a part of all the action and hope that you're enjoying the show today. We had Rusty Manziel on. We had Steve Holman on. Mikey was here. We don't need to go to, like, other outlets. We got all the stars right here.
Yeah, our roster is pretty impressive. Our roster's loaded. Our home roster.
Yes, ma'am. Hey, 10 o'clock hour brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. So
can we follow up on this? I know we have a special guest coming, but can I just discuss what we were discussing in the break?
Whatever you say.
Okay. Lee Corso has announced his retirement from game day this morning. That's the big news. And you heard Rusty kind of guesstimate on what you thought they would do. Well, the PR firm for ESPN has come forward to say that Lee will be on the set August 30th. That will be his final game day. And Alabama is playing at Florida State. They haven't announced it's that game, but you got to assume since Lee played at FSU. And I agree with Steak, like the cast of characters that's going to come through there. To honor him and be with him will be something special.
It will be must-see TV.
Mm-hmm.
It will be one of the great tributes in the history of our profession. Do you know how old he's going to be this summer?
Mm-mm.
He's going to be 90.
God bless you.
August 7th. 90.
And the nasties that got on the Twitters and the social and were mocking him and making fun of because it made you feel uncomfortable. Let's hope we all get to be that age and doing something we love and we're treated with such respect. Like when you, however you feel about Kirk Herbstreit, the way he treated Lee with such respect and love.
It was a beautiful thing.
We all need to remind ourselves, y'all.
To watch the way Kirk Herbstreit treated his father figure that was Lee Corso. I had the honor of having multiple dinners back in the day when we had 790. They were doing the Thursday games. It was Tirico, Herbstreit, and Corso. And they'd send them out for those Thursday night games. And Rudy Martsky, who wrote for USA Today, would get these dinners together because he knew that he wouldn't have to peg. God bless him. And and we'd go to the Palm, and Willie would host us. Mm-hmm. And those were just awesome memories that we had at dinner. And a total gentleman, class act as well. We're going to belly up in a second. Is our boy on the line here yet? I mean, what? The show is an ensemble, of different characters.
Right.
Now, Todd Graffanini is a close friend. I don't know why he hasn't called yet, because he's texting me. And I said, if you're going to harass me over text, call the show. Just do it on the air. So I don't even want to, he's got one of those contraptions that's going to make it sound like he's live.
Mm-hmm. It's fancy.
But he has to check in already, right?
I gotcha.
And Bo's waiting for the call.
Okay. I just texted him
again. Just do what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Sandra and I have an agenda. Like, to give you a couple of minutes means that we're going away from some other conversation. Now, in this case, it's probably taking away from talking about the Braves, who struck out 19 times.
I'm sick
times
of the Braves. We don't care about – here's what we're doing today. Braves, take a day off. I can't say anything else about you because all of it's not good. So you know that saying, if you don't have anything nice to say, you're a bad baseball team right now, and they didn't forget how to play ball, so let's go. I do want to talk – do we have 2 seconds?
Yeah,
I want to ask you about something that Steve Holman said. Steve Holman was on earlier talking about the Hawks, and we were saying, like, all right, well, best case scenario, if they win, then what? And he started talking about Risa Shea. I have heard from people down with the Hawks behind the scenes. When they brag on somebody, it's how Zachary Richesse holds himself, treats other people, and I've heard that he is the first one in the building and the last one to leave many, many times.
One of the great things about taking him at number one is you don't have any of the worries of what, you know, what makes this kid tick. What are the foibles you may have to worry about? Any of this stuff, a young player with a lot of money and all that. Dude, he's just a workhorse.
So for Steve to be on the road with him this whole season and see him develop, I thought that was really good. And you're right, to have those guys in a six-game series.
Defense is so much different.
Mm-hmm.
The lockdown nature is night and day. I mean, regular season, I mean, you're playing 82 games. They're not locked in. Now you're in a do-or-die game. Can he get his shot? Can he get his look? I was talking about Dyson Daniels. I guess I should just hang up the microphone. Why should I even continue? Because I made a mistake, and I said Dyson Daniels has never been in a playoff game, and this frigging guy decides to hammer me that the voice of the Pelicans. I mean, do you have anything better to do than just harass me on text?
Well, Steak, my season's over, so no. I have nothing better to do.
So Dyson Daniels, let's make a correction. Let me apologize. Were the Pelicans in the playoffs last year?
Yes. played Oklahoma City. Didn't go very well.
How did that
go? We were in the playoffs.
How did that go?
Not well at all.
4-0?
Didn't win a game.
Yeah. Kind of like...
Yeah, well, you know, you don't have your best player that kind of puts a damper on things. But,
Daniels
did make a playoff appearance a year ago.
Okay. You want to know why he's...
I just want this show to be factually correct. I know that's...
Well, that's never happened before.
Yeah, I've never...
It's a challenging thing.
I've never wanted that. You know, I've never wanted that.
I want you to put out correct information.
I have never wanted that, and it never has happened. Here's the thing.
Hey, look, listen. I love listening to Steve Holman, but I got to disagree with him. The play-in is not the playoffs. Trust me, it's not.
It'll feel like a playoff game, do or die.
It feels like it, but it's not. Okay. You know why? Because you get a playoff bonus. You don't get a playoff bonus if you make a play-in.
Listen, when you do when you do 40 years of games, you can open your mouth. Listen.
Wow.
Hey, listen.
Woo, tough crowd.
The reason he's peppering me. It's because of Lent. You know, it's ending finally. Guy hasn't had a crust of bread, an alcoholic beverage, or fried food in how many days now?
It's 45.
And
it ends tomorrow.
It ends tomorrow, right?
I thought it was only 40 days. What do you mean 45? Do you get extra credit
Sundays,
points?
Sundays are technically part of it, Sandy, but they don't count Sundays.
Oh.
So for you personally,
it's a little known
what is the first? What's the first drink, and what's the first item you're going to eat after this 45-day sojourn?
Okay, I've been thinking about this for a while. the first drink I'm going to have is a Guinness. I'm going to have a nice Guinness. I'm going to just kind of sip it.
Great pour, yeah.
Because the tolerance is extremely low.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, steak. So I'm going to have a Guinness, sip that, and then we'll see what happens after that. The first, you know, fried food, bread thing, I want a pizza really badly. I haven't had a pizza in so long, so I think I'm going to get a pizza tomorrow.
Is there a great pizza?
We'll see how that...
With Nola headed to New Orleans, is there a great pizza place in New Orleans?
I mean, they're not really. It's not a great pizza town. I mean, they have a few. You know, Portnoy did a great job when he came here for the Super Bowl. Went to these different places around the area.
What was the number one?
About five of them.
Give me one of them. I know you're not a foodie. Do you have any names?
Not off the top of my head.
Bye. We gotta go. We're gonna do. Thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
The guy. Thank you. Guy lives in New Orleans.
You just pizza shamed him so bad.
Sandra, let me ask you a question. Do you have anybody you know that lives in a city their entire life that cannot name a local pizza shop?
That's a good point.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we come back, we're going to do Belly Up, but I wanted to get Graf on there.
Good, no, good. Right? Wonderful.
But how do you live in a city your entire life? And you, I know from Tulane, Mama Rosa's was a place. It was down on... down offside the court. Like, he's the worst foodie. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my wife called him and it's like, hey, we're going to New Orleans. I'm going to call Graf about restaurant recommendations. I was like, what? What? Do not call him. Like, he is the antithesis of, like, New Orleans culinary, right?
I didn't realize that
it's hard to be friends with a guy like that.
I think he didn't want to say something and have you get upset because it wouldn't be good.
I think he was going to say like a chain or something.
Yeah.
Did you get a sense he was going to like order a chain tomorrow?
Well, he can't do that. Right. Yeah. Forbidden Pizza was given the best pizza in New Orleans from Dave Portnoy.
Okay.
A very high rate. I've never heard of that. Saint Pizza is the second.
Thank you, Sandra.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Wow. All right.
There you go, Todd.
What's the most entertaining part of Belly Up when we come
Lane Kiffin was on Theo Vaughn's podcast talking about Nick Saban. It's great.
How much do you love Theo Vaughn, by the way?
He is so adorable.
My wife is in love with him.
Is she?
Kimberly literally sends me a Theo Vaughn Insta every day.
He's very sweet and adorable.
He's authentic and he is entertaining and he's got a lot going on. All right, we'll do that. We'll play three strikes. Why do I feel like pizza will be a part of the conversation in pizza?
And who hasn't eaten a chicken wing? Like, for Jim Palmer to say, I've never had a chicken wing.
Why don't we play that, too?
Okay.
Do you have a hometown pizza place in Panama City of any note? Was there one place you and your dad would go for pizza?
Not pizza necessarily, yeah, not pizza but town. Santa Rosa's is on St. Thomas Square. It's pretty good, Santa Rosa's.
So somebody asked me, Brian Snicker said his favorite restaurant in America is that Sarasota restaurant.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember the name of that place? Because remember Eddie Gonzalez who ran the tennis tournament here?
Yeah.
He's literally in Florida. I said, can you figure that out also?
Yes.
And then we got to do some sports stuff. Mike Conti said at some point sports has to come up, so I guess that'll happen too. Steak and Sandro, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's 10:41 on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. My name is Steak. That's Sandra Bo Johnson, who's flying solo this week. So next week, is Abe with us as a pseudo-producer and on the air and sitting here or not? You're shaking your head. I heard there's some, we're going to get some Abe next week, which is always, you know, that guy's been on the air like 100 hours in the last few weeks, right?
Yeah.
Because of Bo and
everything. Is Bo taking like 6 weeks for paternity? 3 weeks? Good for him.
Okay. What is he working on over there? Are we not seeing, he's looking at the schedule, right? That's what he's doing.
Okay.
Listen, we can handle it with or without him. Some days we have four people on the show. Some people it's just the three of us. I don't really care. I'm still going to sit here and do what we do. And like what's coming up is three strikes. What's coming up is belly up. What's also coming up is your Jim Palmer story if we have that cut.
Yeah.
Do you want to make it part of belly up?
Yes, we do.
All right. Let's go.
What's happening?
What's everyone talking about?
What is happening here?
We've got you covered.
As we belly up.
On the Steakhouse.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This past weekend is the name of the podcast with Theo Vaughn, who is adorable. And Lane Kiffin was on, y'all, for about 45 minutes. It is so good. I think you'll enjoy it today to even listen. His philosophy about his change of his mental state.
I want to hear
and
that.
Being comfortable, you moving to Ole Miss. It's really good.
Is he single?
Now that I look.
No. He's got back with his ex-wife. He doesn't mention it. But I do want to just set this up a little bit. They get into his pedigree of learning from his father. But he goes on and on about what he learned, how terrible he was when he first got with Saban, and what he really learned from him, and some of Saban's antics. State, which we heard about years ago from Kirby at the Ritz. Do you remember this? Kirby, like, he called where it's literally Christmas, and we're
terrorizing.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Here's the first part of Lane.
Now that I look back, I'm like, okay, he was so strict on everything, kind of like in a parent way, like with his team, with the players, the coaches, like nothing changed. We won a national championship and there's 7:30 staff meeting the next morning. I'm like, what are we meeting on at 7:30 the next morning? He's like, we're behind. You know, because we won the championship, everybody else was recruiting and we're behind. And I was like, well, what are we? But now I look back and be like, that's why he is what he is. That's why he was so great. Because it was like the standard never changed no matter what.
So have you heard of the relief syndrome, Steak, in your lifetime of what it is? In college football, I mean, I remember Saban talking about something called relief syndrome. And it's the syndrome of once you have like a big project or a big game or a big test, and once you kill it and you did great, our natural tendencies are to be like, oh, phew.
Absolutely. Well, how about anything in life?
Yeah.
You know? Where you worked so hard, we got over the hump.
Or even you're nervous for, you know, because they say being nervous is a good sign that you
totally
care so much. So this relief syndrome and what Lane learned from him.
Most people are born with a relief syndrome. He wasn't. He just always had this way of thinking like, hey, you never relax. Like, but most people are. So he went above and beyond to make sure people didn't have that. Like, we'd win a game and then he comes in and just like rips us.
Yeah.
And we're like, man, we played great. Like, coach, great. That was because he was guarding against that because he knew that that could happen.
It's why repeating is so difficult in every sport.
Yeah.
How do you maintain the same level of intensity and desire to get your first title and get your next one? So nobody repeats in any sport, and that's part of it. There is a natural letdown. You know, I'm sure sales folks have to guard against that, right? Organizations.
I just don't know that that's good for your brain, you guys. I feel like there is some sort of win.
I don't think ripping your team when you win the national title, which we heard that he did, like on numerous occasions, he went off after, like, okay, where's
the joy in life? And making his coaches come in at 7:30 in the morning the next day after.
Where they've been partying online.
I think there's
other ways to go through life, but okay, they had the success. But
you got to celebrate the little wins and give yourself
Lane
some attagirls, y'all.
You know, we'll talk about podcasts and video. Everybody watches podcasts now. Lane Kiffin, dude, that man is looking, he looks like a friggin' 50-year-old model.
Mm-hmm. Boy, he has done his work. And
what is he doing?
Go listen to it if you're just kind of in
yoga.
He is doing all things healthy.
Does he talk about it?
He talks about it. He talked about moving to Oxford, Mississippi, and he's like, man, because he came from L.A. He came from South Florida. Fast times, fast life.
Right.
And he was like, Oxford, and then... Y'all, if you're an Ole Miss fan, you're going to love it, but I just think in general.
Right.
And he's being kind to himself, Steak, and I always say to you, like, live in the moment and, you know, get off the phone, celebrate the wins. He is all about that, and you can see it in his relaxed.
Lecturing about the phone. I'm not on the phone.
I think everybody just needs to try a chicken wing. Let me set this up. Jim Palmer and Kevin Brown do the broadcast for the Orioles, and literally midway through the game,
how
they're just chitty-chatty, and he says, I never had a wing.
You know, I've never had a wing. Ever. What do you mean you've never had a wing? Never, ever had a wing.
You've never had... Wait a minute.
No. I'm just never had.
You've never had a chicken wing?
No.
Like,
why would I?
Why would
don't
you?
Don't they have skin and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of things have skin.
But I don't eat skin.
Apples have skin.
Why eat apples?
You've never had a single chicken wing?
No, never thought about having it.
That is staggering. So what kind of chicken do you eat?
White breast.
What about, like,
fried chicken?
You eat fried chicken?
Never had fried chicken.
No, never?
Well, I've taken the crust off and...
What is this?
What is this?
So he's been eating like that for...
Ever.
50 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
and
is
I
why...
Did, so he used to live in my husband's basement.
That's the wildest
Which is the
story.
Craziest story. They're all from Baltimore, and Larry's dad met Jim Palmer out and about, and they exchanged stuff about real estate, and he goes, my house isn't ready. We have a basement. He lived in Larry's basement for 3 to 4 months.
He needed somewhere to live while his house was being built, and Sandra's husband, Larry... Wax from Baltimore's dad said, move in with us.
Yeah.
So literally Jim Palmer in the 70s lived in your husband's house.
Yeah. The underwear That's model wild. Jim Palmer. I was like, lost my mind. And I did ask Larry on text, did he ever drink? Did he ever? Never. He was always very, Larry describes him as very uptight.
Yeah. He seems a little bit joyless.
Yeah. There you go. So
here's our three strikes question. The best pizza place from your hometown. The best pizza place from your hometown. I told Graf, it's amazing that we're not even, that we're buddies because you literally can name one pizza place from New Orleans. But that was a interview that I didn't see coming.
There you go.
The pitcher you wish lived in your house as a kid. The pitcher you wish lived, I'd say Louis Tiant. You know who Louis Tiant was? The flamboyant right-handed starter for the Sox. I was 10 years old. I would love if he had lived. Or Dennis Eckersley as a kid.
Oh, hey, that's a good one.
X living in my basement.
Yep.
Hey, guys. X coming up for muffins. What do you mean? X living in the basement. Who's the pitcher you wish lived in your house as a kid? An extremely underrated college town. Extremely underrated.
Do not say Athens, please.
Please don't.
Right? Like,
don't
give
say,
us somewhere random.
Don't see Madison.
Yeah.
You could say Boone, where Appalachian State
perfect,
is, right?
Perfect.
I've heard
perfect.
Really good things about that. Don't say Oxford, Mississippi.
Yeah, don't say any of the big cities that the big universities
Just
are.
Be smart enough and know
be
how
clever.
To answer.
Be clever. There we go.
The best pizza place from your hometown, the pitcher you wish lived in your house as a kid and underrated.
404-726-0929, 404-726-0929.
Give us a biz buzz, and we will take your calls. Now, when you ask a guy from Boston the best pizza place from your hometown, that is a loaded question.
So let's go more small Newton. Suburbs of. So
well,
what you're from a small suburb, where are you going?
I mean,
neighborhood pizza
Newton
joint.
Highlands House of Pizza.
There you go.
I love Greek pizza. If anything in New England was named House of Pizza, Melrose House of Pizza, Newton House of Pizza, Worcester,
right.
That means they're Greek.
Right.
I didn't know that till I got older. House of Pizza is a Greek. So I love Greek, greasier, thicker crust. Although, if you're flying to Boston, it's a battle between Centarpio's in East Boston, which is real near the airport,
okay.
Centarpio's, and Pizzeria Regina. The original in the North End.
Very nice.
So I tried to go there this summer with the kids, and there was a wicked line out the door.
Wicked line.
It was a wicked
line. Wicked line.
It was a wicked
at
line
the wicked
out the door.
Wicked pizza place.
Yep. 404-726-0929. So pizza place from your hometown. Picture you wish lived in your house as a kid.
That's funny.
An extremely underrated college town. I'm going to just talk about a couple of things as we fill up the phone lines. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow night, going to the game. I guess the Hawks will probably be a 2-point favorite, maybe something.
Let me look while you're talking.
I don't know if it's even out yet. See if there's a number on that game. Are the Hawks going to give us 10 days of basketball against the Cavs? Are we going to get in a number one seed? Are we going to be a 1-8 series and get, you know, Dyson and Risa Shea and Okongwu and Trey? Do we win the game again in the playoffs? I guess Hawks by 2. What is it?
Miami by 1. Miami minus 1.
That's because of their win last night. Mm-hmm. They looked so good. They're up by 25. So the Hawks are an underdog at home.
Mm-hmm.
If I was a betting man, I just think the physicality of some of these Eastern teams were just not big enough right now. Capella's not playing. He's been done. I don't think he'll ever play again for the Hawks.
I like Steve's take, though, that they're really ticked off after the other night.
Yeah, I mean,
and how Trey got kind of beat up.
Yeah, they won't look like they did the other night. But, mm-hmm. you know, I would imagine the Vegas dollars will be heavy on Miami. Mm-hmm. Just the way you look at those two brands, Miami Heat culture. But Jimmy Butler's not there. Playoff Jimmy somewhere else. You are who you are. So look at the record they had all year, right? They were not a good basketball team. So, but I'd be scared if I was betting it. I'm not going to bet it. I'm going to go root for the Hawks, and I'm really going to pray that we get a whole.
And you are going to the game. Do you think that's a tough ticket or?
No, I don't think it's a tough ticket.
Okay, so everybody go down. It may be your last game.
It's last minute. Maybe Salsa will come on and pitch it tomorrow from the Hawks. All right?
All right.
Are we ready to take calls?
So what's your take?
Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no.
It's time for you to sound off. 1, 2. With 3 strikes.
Quit your whining.
On the Steakhouse.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, Alexis in Lithonia, what's the best pizza place from your hometown?
Pizza Slice, Red Bank, New Jersey.
What's it called?
Mr. Pizza Slice. It's still there. I'm 59 years old. I've been going there since I was like 4 years old.
Mr. Pizza Slice. Give me a picture you wish lived in your house as a kid.
I'm a Jersey guy. Doc Gooden might be pretty fun back there in the 80s. Hang out with Doc and Daryl.
You would have had a blast. You'd have had a lot of sleepless nights.
A lot of... Touché. Extremely underrated college town.
You know something? Georgetown. You go to Georgetown.
Beautiful that's
town.
A good one.
A lot of partying down there in Georgetown.
That's a beautiful town. Beautiful town.
Yep.
Marvin in a car. Marvin, the best pizza place from your hometown.
Gotta stick with Mellow Mushroom.
The pitcher you wish lived in your house as a kid.
Greg Maddux.
Extremely underrated college town.
Knoxville, Tennessee.
I think anytime we mention an SEC.
Marvin, you are a friend of mine. But don't mention the big SEC towns. Like, Knoxville is awesome.
Yeah,
and we talk about it all the time. Georgetown is perfect. You want to talk about a food city. So, all right. Sorry, Marvin. Can we
Bo.
Right?
Don't say it in my ear. Say it on the air.
Well, I don't want to interrupt anybody.
No, you're not
interrupting.
That's what we do here.
A example of what y'all are looking for this.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Lafayette, Louisiana.
Yeah. Yes, please.
My wife's hometown.
That's right.
U of L makes up that entire city. There is so much great food and great energy. That's a great town.
The people in Lafayette
are awesome.
Per capita, best people in the world.
The cost of living there, too, is really, really a great city to move to. It is, and the restaurants, you're absolutely
right. New York Times did an entire travel section on Lafayette.
Is that right? Oh, cool.
Best place for Cajun food, best place for these Cajun brunches, 8 a.m. in the morning with the music and everything else. And
that's great.
So that's,
hey, shout out to Larry in a truck, one of our great, great listeners, who's back today working his gig. He was out for a long while and wrote to us. So, Larry, welcome back. We missed you.
Hey, Paul in Athens, you get the final word. Best pizza place from your hometown.
Yeah, DePalma's here in Athens.
Yeah, great spot. Pitcher,
what's the name of it?
DePalma's.
Oh, yeah.
Right there on the main, main drag. Pitcher you wish lived in your house.
Growing up in Atlanta, it'd have to be Phil Niekro.
Oh, he's the best. Extremely underrated college town.
You're going to hate this because it's a bigger city. Columbia, Missouri.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah,
I don't know much about it, but...
That's where the real journalists come from.
Journalists!
Hey, thanks, John Foy.
Thank you. Thank you, Bo. Sandy, have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
Rusty here tomorrow. Thanks for making the Steakhouse Party Day. Bye.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.